Okay, let's go. We'll go through these right quick if you want.
If you're ready to just take notes as we go. Hope somebody's got the right answer for me.
Let's do it.
What's his hometown? Lystra. What's a reference there?
16-1.
Right, 16-1. Timothy's mother and grandmother's names? That's the correct name. Where is the reference there? It's in 2 Timothy, chapter 1. What's the verse?
Verse 5.
Timothy's religious situation. Who's correct, mother and father?
Jewish,
pagan, whatever. And what reference? 16:1 of Acts. Journey on which Timothy first went with Paul.
I put the second.
That's correct.
16:3.
Same thing. Yeah, same reference. So Acts 16 is a key text to understand how they first met. Had Paul been to Lystra before that? Yes. First journey. What happened on the first journey when he was there?
There was a mistake.
No, that's Antioch.
Is that where?
Yeah, the city.
Is that where he got stoned?
It is. Left for dead.
And then he's got, yeah,
got up and went back in the city. Yeah. Timothy is not mentioned there, nor are Lois and Eunice, but they are clearly there and perhaps were converted because when he gets back, it appears that his mother and grandmother were believers by that point. You would have to guess Timothy was a younger man, right, by 2 or 3 years, and remembers Paul being stoned. Perhaps he might have witnessed that. That's all supposition. Keep going. Y'all understand why this is relevant, right? We're establishing Timothy's background, the relationship between Paul and Timothy, the kinds of things Timothy would have in his mind about his relationship with his spiritual father. Timothy's job and location at the writing of 1 Timothy. Good. Reference?
1 Timothy 1.
Good. Journey on which Paul first visited Ephesus. This is a harder one.
I put 2.
That's correct.
Because it was on his way back.
He's on his way back, and it was a very brief visit. There's more to that story. I'll show you a map in a minute. But yes, that's correct. And the reference is, I think I got 16:1. That's not right. It's Acts 18:19. It's right. So it's a very brief mention, Acts 18:19, of a stop on the second journey, right near the end. A journey on which Paul stayed at Ephesus for over 3 years. It's the third, and what reference?
20:31.
Yes, that's interesting. 19:10 mentions that he was there for like 2 years when it's telling about him being in Ephesus. Later, when he comes back on the tail end of that journey, he meets with the elders. He says, I was with you for 3 years. So it's kind of, you have to put those two things together. So I would probably put two references there, 19:10 and 20:31 in the book of Acts. All right. Any evidence that Paul was free, not imprisoned, at the writing of 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy 3:14. Says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you.
Excellent. Yeah, I didn't even think of that one. 1:3 says, I left you there when I went to Macedonia. So it's kind of clearly he's traveling around. And there's more references to that kind of mobility that are suggested there too. And so the theory that's got a lot of evidence is that Paul got released after the book of Acts narrative ends. That he did a bunch of stuff. He sent Timothy here and Titus there. All those were written during that time. But was eventually rearrested and then ended up in Rome in prison when 2 Timothy was written. And that would be the next question, 9. His personal situation. Where would you reference there?
2 Timothy 2:9.
Okay. He talks about his chains there or something. I don't know. But then chapter 4 says, I'm about time my departure's at hand. I finished the course, kept the faith, and so on. And then, any indication that Timothy was a young man?
Paul calls him a child many times.
He calls him his child in the faith. I think you could be like my age and look at Sewell and think, I'm his child in the faith. But I won't argue, that's not okay.
I also put 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let them despise you in your youth.
Let no one despise your youth. And it seemed like there's a fleet youthful lust reference in the second letter, which is like, when is he going to grow up? He's probably in his 30s. But anyway, yes, good. I don't know where that is.
Let no flee youthful lust must be
in the second
chapter. Second Timothy, I remember that.
2:22.
Yeah, so here's the quiz. You should know all this. And this is the kind of thing you could do in your class very quickly. You know, now you kind of know all this. And in addition to that, you have taken some time to play with your Bible, to feel the text, and, you know, look at different things. You probably are getting larger other structures, too, like where's the first journey, where's the second journey in the book of Acts, you know, those kinds of things that would help. So you see a difference between giving you a quiz like this, and I should be sitting on the chair, teaching technique here. So how is this different from the quiz? We talked about this last time. Why make it an open book? What is the value of that?
You bring everybody else's thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, and you're working together.
Yeah, knowledge, right. And it just helps you learn and helps them learn.
And you're discovering those answers. You didn't know any of these answers much before. I mean, the references for sure, right before the class period. Maybe you still don't know them all, but you worked. And you put some effort into it, which is a little different from, yeah, I knew all these answers, and I just answered them on a quiz. So that, from the standpoint of density of learning, probably made a little more progress. It took time, but still.
Yeah, I was making a joke earlier about how, like, well, why don't we just use Google and we'll call this up, because we have that tool today. But that in itself, I think, would hinder our learning.
It might.
Because
it is some kind of learning.
It's like the same thing as asking you. It's like, give us the answers. Yeah. You know? So,
I have a mark, and I have to put it in every Bible. This is where the second journey ends and the third journey begins, because it is an absolutely nondescript location in the book of Acts. I have to put a line there and put, you know, a note there. I have to go find that again. But that structure is important to me to know that. And so when you're manipulating paper and all that, so yes, good. All right, we've got a lot to do tonight. I want you to know, you should have gotten an email about a Dropbox site. Here are some things that I've put on there. The worksheet template. A handout template, that'll be your lesson template. It has to have text boxes on it, so I've got the text boxes in a PowerPoint file, but they're manipulable. You can reshape them and change fonts so they'll sit on the side of the page if you're good at inserting objects. So I would suggest manipulate them here to the size you want, then do a cut and then paste them as a bitmap object into your lesson sheet, and then you can manipulate it as a picture. Y'all know how to do this, right? Y'all are all younger than me. You should know. You should be telling me how to do it. But that's a tool that you might be able to learn. These are the lessons as we've done them so far. I'll probably keep updating that one. And also the PowerPoint. Oh, I don't have that in here. I'll put the PowerPoint in there, too. Okay. And then I have flashcards. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. All right, let's keep on going. This you know about. So here are some background information. I think it's in that lesson I handed you last time, or is it? Was this in there or not? Okay, I need to give it to you. I'll just put these PowerPoint charts on the Dropbox, which you can see. This is the life of Paul, and you can see in the red, here are the journeys and the time frames in A.D., and then when he sends to Rome. Here are the references in the book of Acts, which end right here after the first imprisonment, so there's no reference here. But here's where the letters are written, so we're kind of down here. See that after the book of Acts is over, during that free time he had for maybe 3 or 4 years, and then 2 Timothy during that last couple of years of his life. So that's kind of a picture. Other people organized Paul's life using kind of the Galatian story about all the times he went to Jerusalem. That's kind of an interesting way to approach it. Rather than the missionary journeys, which is how we usually think about it, he made several trips to Jerusalem over time. Which, if you read Galatians, has a huge significance about his acceptance as a real apostle, about whether he just got, all he knew from listening to the other apostles, or did he have direct revelation from God? Kind of a key issue in Paul's life. So, anyway, here's the second journey. So they were in Antioch to start with, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate for me Barnabas," right, and Saul. And he was still Saul at that point. And they went to his hometown, interesting. And then Derbe, Lystra, and there's our first connection with Timothy, although it's not mentioned there. And I have a theory that he was headed for Ephesus, because it just feels like he wanted to go there. But he got a vision right here. And what did the vision say? Come to Macedonia. Right, I don't know. It's just a funny joke to me, but nobody ever laughs. How did Paul know that was a Macedonian guy that was telling him?
You know, I think he had a T-shirt, like Macedonian Marauders or maybe a baseball cap or something. Anyway, it was a man, he knew it was a man from Macedonia in the vision, but he says, come over there. Well, this is Macedonia, all this area up here. And so he does, he goes pretty quick, and he gets there. He does not go to Ephesus. And he, a Philippian jailer, and the persecution in Thessalonica, and those who were more noble, and those, you know, Berea, you know all those verses, that's that section there. And so then from there, he goes down at Athens and Corinth, and that's his first meeting with them. And anyway, at that point, he does touch Ephesus, but he's on his way back. He gets to Jerusalem and ends up back at Antioch again. So that's the second journey. During the first journey, I said that wrong. It was Paul and Silas, not Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was the first journey where they went over here to Cyprus, got up here, John Mark turned back, and they went in this area, came back this way. Second journey is Silas. They go this way. One theory I have is that Paul wanted a young man with them, maybe to carry the bags. I don't know, but they had Mark on the first journey. He didn't go with them on the second journey. Remember that argument they had about that. So maybe Paul's looking for a young man to take with him. And he gets to Lystra on the second journey, and this Timothy guy's been preaching at other cities, or at least he's well reported of in other churches in nearby cities. And maybe he's taken Mark's place in some sense, in Paul's traveling team. Just an idea. It makes sense to me. But, of course, Timothy needed a spiritual father, seems to me. So there was a lot of... And then this is the third journey, probably not the best picture of it, but let me see if I can...
What's the color?
Red one, thank you. So again, starting here, back through these areas, but guess what? Boom, right to Ephesus. That's where he wanted to go. 3 years and he was there. A lot of things. That's where, from there, you know, remember the miraculous handkerchiefs and all that? I don't know if you remember all that from the book of Acts. But a lot of the churches here in Asia Minor were probably established during that time, not even necessarily by Paul himself, but by other men who went out during the time he was there at Ephesus. In fact, some people think that the letter that's to the church at Ephesus, there are actually manuscripts that say Paul to the church at, and then there's a blank in the manuscript. And that maybe it was carried, you know, by a man who stopped first at Ephesus, and that's the one, that's the manuscripts we have the most copies of. But he also took it to all these other churches that were kind of associated. So it may have been more of a general letter. And that would explain why it only lists two people, Tychicus and somebody else. They're the carriers of the letter, but he doesn't have all the personal greetings like almost every other letter that, you know, that we have. So Ephesus might have been a multi-purpose letter that ended up, you know, going to Laodicea or, you know, any of those other places. Who knows? And of course, Colossae would maybe something special, but it went apparently at the same time, same carriers, and also what other third book? Ephesians, Colossians, and what other third book seemed like?
Philemon,
yeah, which who was probably at Colossae. So anyway, too much detail. So up here, down to here, he was going to come back, you know, this way, it seemed like, but he ended up going up this way, collecting the money, trying to get back to Jerusalem, comes back, meets with the Ephesian elders, this, you know, makes them come down to Miletus so he doesn't have to miss his boat, right? And then back to Jerusalem, trying to get there by Pentecost with the gift. Remember all that? So it's kind of a quick map. Here's a timeline of Timothy's life. If we put Paul's journeys on the timeline here, put an approximate date on here, what this says is that he joined Paul on the second journey. Let's make up a thing. Let's say he was maybe 15 years old when Paul first came. Just make that up. That was that math problem box at the bottom of your thing. Did you work on that? Okay. Well, here's how you do it. There, and then if you let these numbers run, then that says when you time to get to prison, Timothy's maybe 30. When you time to get to 1 Timothy, which is here, in fact, I think I have a... and 2 Timothy, he's maybe early 30s. And when you time to get to Paul's death, he's probably mid-30s. See that? Speculation, for sure, but it's not exactly a house of cards. I mean, if you want to make him 12 or if you want to make him 18, that's fine, but you can kind of figure out what the numbers will be. So there's some more facts you can have. And then the church at Ephesus has its own timeline. And that is that you can see it was established here around 50, roughly, a little after 50, when he first very briefly visits it on the second journey, right? Well, what's the last we hear of Ephesus? It's one of the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation.
So if you make that in the mid-90s or early-90s, you kind of get a 40-year history of the church, right? See that? So it's interesting to think about the church at Ephesus. We know about it, its history for roughly, and it doesn't get better, by the way. You already see seeds of problems in 1 Timothy, right? The false teachers and everything. By the time you get to Revelation, they've left their first love and some other things. So it's not the best history in the world. How long has Ember Hills been in existence, y'all know?
Is it like 6 years?
What's that?
6 years? About 6 years?
Yes, yeah, it's 58 years, almost 60. And I don't think even we know much about the Church of Jerusalem. If you let it be established in, you know, 30 AD or something, I guess we assume it was destroyed in 70 AD, but as far as the history of the church, there's no record of it. I mean, we know Paul visited there in the 50s, right? But beyond that, there's not much reference to that church at all. Unless maybe the Hebrew letter was written to it or something. Even then, it's not 40 years of history. Now I'm going to try to do this. We're going to try to learn the chapter content in about 5 minutes. Okay, can you all do that? You'll be surprised. You probably will. I mean, this is a teaching technique thing. So here they are. Paul's initial charge, men and women, elders and deacons, false and true teaching, widows and others. You see a pattern here? What's the pattern?
Topics.
The topics are pairs. I just did that so it'd be easy to remember. These are not our lesson titles, right? But this is just something there. And then finally, poor and rich. You getting a pattern there? Okay, so a pair, men and women, elders, deacons, false and true, meaning that, really, this is really almost more about Timothy now, he should act, but he begins by saying that, you know, in the last days, men will be all these terrible things, you know, to do with that. And then widows and others, including elders, but, you know, younger widows, things like that, and then poor and rich. And I say it that way because in the text, it seems to address poor people first and ends with the description of rich. Poor being people who might have a love of money, but they don't have it, maybe, or they desire to be rich. And then Timothy, 2 Timothy is don't be afraid or ashamed. You think of that as the first chapter starts with A's, afraid or ashamed. And then the images of ministry, that's like soldier and athlete and farmer and vessel and servant. And anyway, and then perilous times, which these almost line up, and I wish they did, because these two chapters are very similar. You know, men, in the last days, men will be all these terrible things, and then this is perilous time will come, and he describes how terrible people are there. No lovers of God, and, you know, lovers of self, and all that. Anyway, and then easy, final charge and initial charge. So that should be easy. You got those two kind of go together? All right. We're ready to do it. I don't know if that would be in order or not. See if you can remember.
Is your charge or is your charge?
Good. Chapter 2. Now we start pairs, remember?
And
the women. 3. Another pair. 4.
Well, false and true.
False and true. 5.
Widows
and others.
6.
Poor and rich. That would be 5 minutes. 1.
Don't be afraid of.
Don't be ashamed. Right. 2.
Images of
worship.
Images of service or workers, whatever you call that. And 3. Again, like the other chapter 4, 1 Timothy, but. Perilous times is the way to think about it. And then
the final charge.
About all scripture and inspired, that kind of. And then
final charge.
Okay. All right, that was too easy. You ready? Okay. Let's see if we can do this. All right. 2 Timothy 2.
Worship.
1 Timothy 6.
Quarters.
2 Timothy 1.
Be ashamed.
2 Timothy 4. Final charge. 1 Timothy 2.
False teachers.
Oops.
Initial charge.
Perilous times.
Yeah, that may be harder to remember. I don't know why. It helps me to think if you add 2 and 3, you get 5, and if you add 1 and 4, you get 5, so they're alike somewhere or another. I don't know. That's not good math. Anyway, yes. Perilous times. So 1 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy 3 are very similar.
Widows and others.
Widows and others. Okay. Let's try. Let's do it the other way.
Oh.
False teachers and godly teachers. False and true.
1 Timothy 3.
Okay, another we'll teach you. Don't answer for about 3 seconds, if you don't mind, so everybody gets a chance to think of the answer. So even if you don't shout it out, what I might do in class is that once you answer one, you can't answer another one. That's another thing you can do. Anyway. But what was this one again?
1 Timothy 3.
Okay, pause now. Pause. Think about
order.
It. Think about it. All right, what is it?
1 Timothy 2.
No, don't answer. Okay.
1 Timothy 5.
Don't answer. Okay.
1 Timothy 3.
I should show you so you get the visual reinforcement, right? It's a little bit like a video game when you see something blow up or something. Initial charge. Okay. Final charge. That's a given. All right, what is it?
2 Timothy 4.
Not ashamed or afraid. Okay.
2 Timothy 1.
Two more. Poor and rich, don't answer. Okay.
1 Timothy 5.
6. Images of God, good workers. Images of good workers.
2 2 2.
All right. We did it. How long did that take? Yeah, less than 5, probably. Okay. You see how that can work? Now, what kind of learning did you just do?
Attention.
Yeah, on our flow of learning. Facts, no more than that. Maybe not even facts, right? I mean, I guess the facts are, what did Marty think the title of that chapter could be? Right? Right, but still, at some point when you read it, you remember, okay, widows and others, that's going to be in your brain. You'll say, well, this fits, that doesn't, this does. So it's going to be something you can begin to do some analysis and synthesis about. All right, these are available for use. What are you going to do? Okay. We're working through, trying to do this. All right, we're ready for the exercise. And what I'm going to do here is, and I had this all set up to do on a screen that I don't need to optimize. I mean, what I need to do is set the display up where I have duplicated screens so I can just type here. I want you to get out the work you did on the titles there, and I'm just gonna put your answers down. That's all I really want to do. Why in the PowerPoint mode? Okay, perfect. All right. Can y'all read that, or is it too small? I'll see what I'll do.
It's kind of small.
Well, I can do it this way. Is that better? All right. Here's what we're going to do. I just want you to just shout out. So, here's the working title up here. I just for fun made some other ones up. You know, right here. That line. So, what I want to do is we're going to go in columns. Anybody else want to put anything else down for 1, 1, and 2? That's the lesson I'm going to teach. But I'll really do a lot of that background stuff I just presented in the first class period. Right? But any other titles you'd like to put there?
That's what I put.
Okay. So
I'll put greetings from Paul, something.
Okay. All right. Let's do the next. Oh, and of course, everybody's kind of okay. You only get 2 choices for the best verse, so I think everybody probably believes 2. All right.
I put encouraging greeting to Timothy.
What, for this one?
No, the first one.
What did you call it?
Encouraging greeting to Timothy.
Oh, encouraging greeting.
Now, I'm not just interested in competing titles here. I'm really looking for kind of like thematic titles. You know, in other words, if you're saying that's what this section is about, and two chapters later you're seeing some of the same ideas, that's important. So this is not just a guess the best title thing. There's a purpose. There are other ways to do this, but I think one of the things, I love this best verse exercise. My dad used to do that all the time. Read these 10 verses. Which verse in there is the best description of what those all 10 verses are about, right? Well, sometimes there's really not a good answer, but what do you have to do to come to that conclusion? What all do you have to do to get to that answer? You have to look at every verse. In fact, you have to look at it from two points of view. What is it all about? So I can pick the best. And then, is it a candidate for the best verse? You know what I mean? It's a great piece of analysis, and it doesn't really force you to come up with the five-word title, which is another good exercise for synthesis and that kind of thing. Y'all, does this make sense? So it's a good thing to do. And, of course, it's the beginning of an outlining skill. All right. 1-3. So y'all understand this notation means 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 20, and that would be 2 Timothy 1. Y'all got that? So that's not hard. All right? Give me some. In fact, I'd like to kind of have a row. So, Santi, you're going to be row 6 over there. All right. So I don't know whoever wants to be row 5. I want your answer. If you don't have a different answer, we're going to have to. Matthew, you're row 5. Or
okay, so I'll go ahead. Mine is have a pure, sincere faith.
Okay. Who's next? All right.
He uses the word entrusted a lot, so I said entrusted to follow Son of God.
Follow or keep
sound doctrine. Sorry.
To what? Keep?
Keep sound doctrine.
Okay, Corey, you're line 7, by the way. But y'all have to remember which line you are. Okay. All right, anybody else? We got another one?
The aim of our church.
Who said that? Kevin, what do you got?
The aim of our church.
Aim of the church.
Or the aim of our church.
Oh, charge. Thank you. Good. Okay. Yeah, so you're row 8, by the way. So call out your number if you miss. Anybody else want to pick a row here? Got another answer?
Maintain good conscience and faith.
Maintain. I'm going to just put conscience. Okay, and you're row 9, by the way. Okay. Best verses, row 5, whoever that is.
I put verse 5.
Okay. Who had encouraging greetings? Santi, that was your row, I think. Do you have an answer there?
2. Verse 2.
You said verse 2.
Title and then your best verse.
Oh, for this one? Others to sound doctrine.
Okay. Charge. Charge others?
Yes.
And the best verse?
18/3.
Okay. I like that answer. That's what I put too. All right. Person 7.
I put 5.
Okay. Person 8.
I also said 5.
Also said 5. Person 9.
19.
Anybody else want to join in? You get your own row? All right. Let's go to the...
I'll join.
Okay. What do you got? You're row 10.
Sincere faith and good fight.
What is it? Sincere faith?
In good fight.
I didn't understand you.
I'm sorry. Sincere faith in good fight.
I like this. I like them all. But are you seeing a trend in this? There's this idea of faith or doctrine or something. There's this idea of soundness or sincerity, right? That shows up. And then the charge has a military sound to it, doesn't it? And now he's used the word fight. Right? Doesn't it? Is there a military feel to this? Like you've been given an assignment. And maybe you're not supposed to go kill people, but you are supposed to maybe deliver an important message or something, some kind of sincere faith in what? In fight?
In good fight.
In it?
In good fight.
I like it. Okay, best verse?
5 and 18.
5, 18. Okay, let's do the next. This is the men and women. Okay, Ola, you're 10. I mentioned that already. I assume you forget. Okay, and I don't remember who all these people are. Oh, 4 is me, so I don't have a different one. I actually made up the top one, but anyway. All right, who's row 5?
That's me.
Yep.
I put how men / women acting in the women, how men and women to act in the church.
Okay. Best verse?
Verse 8.
All right. Person 6.
Start with prayers of all kinds.
Okay.
Verses 1, 8, 9.
Okay. All right. Row 7.
I said roles within discipleship.
And breath, best verse?
5 and 6.
Okay. Keep going.
Pray for all. And instructions. We can just say pray for all.
And there, I'm not leaving out instruction. Best verse?
1 and 15b.
Yeah, 15. I like that. Because he said how men ought to behave themselves. Is that the way that one went? Okay, row 9.
Got the examples in prayer.
Okay, and best verse?
3.
Okay. All right, in row 10. That's Oleg.
Instructions for men and women.
And best verse?
8.
Okay. All right, I'm seeing some comments. Okay, ready for Matthew, back to you. On
prominent roles in the church. Verse 1.
Okay. Row 6.
Qualification of elders and deacons.
Okay. Okay, keep going, y'all. Best verse, Andy.
1 and 8.
All right. Row 7.
Qualifications of church leadership.
I'm just going to put leaders. Best verse?
15.
Misspelled, but I'm not going to stop. Okay. Row 8.
Qualifications for elders.
I think you already had that. And best verse?
15.
Okay. I'm getting to see the trend here. Row 9.
Hold on to the truths of faith.
Are you sure that's the right one? Hold
on to the truths of faith. Yes.
For the elder deacon?
Yeah. For verse 9.
Need to shrink this a little. I'm frozen. This silly thing is so.
So is that your key verse?
9?
9, yes.
Okay, hold deep truth. All right. Okay, we're going to do one more column, and then 10. Oleg, if you got it.
Same as Sandy, but it's like requirements for elders and deacons.
Okay. I'm just going to.
Yeah.
Okay, and best verse?
15 and 5.
All right. Let's do. I wonder if we can finish 1 Timothy, perhaps. Let's go. Chapter 4.
Differences between true and false teachers. True/false teachers.
Okay. Next, keep going.
Verse 16.
Keep going. Who's next?
Nourish others, reject controversy, and grow.
I don't think I can say controversy that way. How do you say it? I like the way you say it. Controversy. So how do you say that? What's the verse?
13:16.
And I know I left out the first part of that. What was it again?
Nourish others.
Oh, nourish others. So that's kind of in backward order.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
So I'm going to put
That came first.
Okay, next, row 7.
False teachers versus good servants.
Keep going. Best verse.
And verse 6.
Okay, next. Go ahead.
A good servant. And verse 11.
Okay. 8, 9, row 9.
Apostasy versus godliness, perseverance.
Yes. And best
verse.
Verse
8.
Okay. And I do let that perseverance. And finally, Oleg, you want to add anything?
Discipline for godliness.
What's that?
Discipline for godliness.
Yeah. All right. Let's, we will have 2 more to get done with the book. Okay. Do you see what we're doing here? Are you beginning to see a pattern? And I don't know that it has to be a democracy where the majority is always right. That's not the point of this. But you begin to see some of the same things. Are you seeing some themes in here? Did you find some repeated words like that? I have a little page I wanted to do that too. What are some repeated thoughts that you find through the whole book? The whole book.
Sound doctrine
appears over and over. That's good. And actually, different words that mean the same thing. Sound teaching, right? The gospel. There are other words for sound and other words for teaching. Truth, the faith, actually, is used as a body of believable stuff. Good. What's another?
I was going to say having a strong faith.
Okay. That's an idea that's through there. A strong faith in, and you might say, in whatever, challenges.
Challenges, service, serving.
Faced with error.
Yeah.
As a servant. Good, okay. So there is this sense of that. And you can almost match that to Timothy's maybe youth, or you learn later that in this one, we learn that he has a stomach problem. Maybe that's nerves, who knows, but... Okay, keep going. What? Any other repeated thoughts?
Useless arguments.
Okay, yeah, it's fables, useless arguments, they're used different ways. There's even the mention of wives' tales, right? That's kind of interesting. What does that mean? But anyway, yeah. So this idea of kind of non-productive, information or beliefs or something. Good. Okay, what else?
False doctrine.
Okay, false teaching, which is a kind of a balance to the sound doctrine, right? In fact, if I were making this a theme, I might put these two together and say, make sure you do this and make sure you refute this, and it's all one and the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. That might be the way I'd approach that. What else?
This saying is trustworthy.
That's an interesting thing. This is a trustworthy statement. And I don't know if this is like just a false figure of speech, because if you just study this trustworthy statements, I can't make it like a, some kind of thesis out of it. Is this the message of Paul's life? These are the words he lived by. But anyway, you can't deny that there's that. So, you know, as a teacher, I would probably want to think through a trustworthy saying. What is it? You know what I mean? All right. Just give me a few more. I can type them.
Practice, devote, immerse, train.
Immerse,
about
practice,
purity.
Devote, develop.
Immerse.
I got that one. Practice, devote.
Train.
Train. Yeah. His stir up is, stir up the gift that's in you. I put that in the same category. Give diligence is one. It seems like that's old-timey language. Y'all get the idea? And who's saying it to whom? To Timothy. It's all through there. Different versions of that same idea. To me, that ought to be one of the themes, because in many ways it begins by saying, I left you there to do this job. I gave you the charge. I've kept my charge. And then he keeps coming back to that. And he ends in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Step up to the job you have been given. And then, of course, the subordinate pieces of that, I think as Sandy's getting at, is you can't just lay around. You got to practice, right? You don't just play a good ball game. You do everything you need to do to prepare for that. It's kind of the idea. And, of course, a soldier who's been engaged doesn't mess around with other stuff that distracts him. All those kind of things are going to come up. To me, that just starts glowing as really one of the things. Do we need to learn from... Now, if I was going to make a goal out of that, what would I do? Do we need to learn from that theme? Has God given us something to do? Has He? Yeah, I mean, for one thing, I'm trying to make you into teachers. I think that's a huge responsibility. And it's not something you just do because you have assignment with it. No, you work at it. Or some of you are husbands. Some of you are dads. Right? Is that a ministry? Is that a calling, a charge, a serious one that requires daily practice and effort and all that? You see what I'm saying? So you can kind of see how we've gone from chapter content, repeated words, and now we're looking at, well, okay, what messages can we be aiming for as a goal for this whole study for the Christians? Y'all see what I'm doing there? I'm going to put the spreadsheet on the Dropbox site, and you're free to keep adding things to it, but I think from this, Russ, Sunday, y'all need to go ahead and, you know, you see what we're doing here, and I'll give you the spreadsheet.